Is
when
proceedings involving children are brought, we make sure that this is a general policy and norm, and it's part of our manuals and procedural books. They stipulate the best interest of the child as a priority, and they also make sure that the necessary measures are adopted for its effective fulfillment. So all actions and decisions involving children and adolescents that are covered by our office take into account this principle as a cornerstone. At the same time, we also look at the context of human mobility, and we look at what has been drafted in the concluding observations of this committee previously. Our national regulatory framework and our experience in 2019 have led to our adopting an institutional process to assess the best interests of the child in the context of human mobility. This document is a guide to assess the best interests of the child in migratory contexts, and it's from the PGN. This guide in 2021 was updated through a particular agreement, and in this document, it strengthens the principle of implementing the best interests of the child in all proceedings where the children and adolescents are concerned, particularly in migratory contexts. Turning to the prevention of institutionalization, deinstitutionalization or alternative care is, it's important to say that as part of what we're doing, the state of Guatemala has pooled inter-institutional efforts with networks to ensure that children, adolescents, and their families have access to social programs in line with their needs. When we have links with institutions, there are protection plans that swing into action through the PGN, and support is given for a particular time frame to families. It's also important to highlight that when we are made aware of facts violating or events violating the rights of children and adolescents, that this office assesses the family environment of the child, and if we find that it violates the integrity of the children, in line with our legal mandate, the PGN, through the special protection measures, proceed to restoring their rights. We look to preserve the family, but we also look to prioritize placement of children and adolescents with their biological family. If that's not possible, we then seek other alternatives for temporary hosting, such as extended family or a replacement substitute families. The last option is to send them to institutions or shelters. When a complaint is brought and we find that the parents are unable to care for the child, we proceed to seek other resources, and very often this is done through the 72-hour mechanism, we hope it will be done through that mechanism as we're about to implement it. And this principle has institutionalization as its last resort, as I say. We also want to mention that in 2020, through to March this year, we have provided care for or to over 700,000 children, adolescents. Of these, 93,000 have benefited from special protection measures. 52,000 boys, girls, and adolescents have been sheltered in their family environment. 25,000 of them have been in extended family, placed in extended family, and 11,390 children have unfortunately been sent to shelters or protection homes institutions. But we have prioritized placing them in foster families, as I say. We are aware that we have many challenges when it comes to prevention of institutionalization and deinstitutionalization. So we are seeking to adopt the necessary measures to strengthen and implement the necessary steps for children who are threatened with having their human rights violated. Thank you.
Gracias, directora.
Thank you, Director. The Deputy Minister for the Ministry of the Interior will also take the floor. Madam, thank you. Thank you. I'm Maya de Leon from the Ministry of the Interior on prevention